Welcome to this series of Publifunded Climate Connected podcasts, where we talk to people involved in community climate action all around Ireland. Energy Cooperatives Ireland has worked with dozens of Irish sustainable communities and has established 5 fully operational energy cooperatives. Many of these communities have become innovators and promoters of the carbon-free society at the local level and in some cases at the national level. I'm speaking today to Carl Loftus, who is chair of the Sustainable Energy Community in Mulranny in West Mayo. So Carl is here to tell us about how their community has responded to the need to develop tourism in the area, to bring in more revenue, and also to do it in a sustainable way. Is that right, Carl?
Yeah, that's correct. Hello, Maeve. How are you?
So all this started back in 2008, Carl, and I think you spearheaded the whole thing.
Yeah, well, it probably started with the process called Mulranny Community Futures, Maeve. Mayo County Council brought in this initiative in Mayo to try and get communities to come up with a plan that they could develop themselves, the communities would develop themselves. So out of that plan, we got a lot of new volunteers into the community, including myself, and I got involved in setting up a tourism group. And, you know, Mulranny had been, back in the 1890s up to the 1950s, was really ahead of its time with tourism. There was a beautiful hotel there. We had an outdoor swimming pool. We had electric light before rural electrification. And then come the late 2000s, the hotel was in disrepair. It was there was trees growing up through it. Our beautiful Victorian walks were completely overgrown. So the community decided that we weren't going to be sitting on our laurels when we got when we joined Community Futures, and decided that we needed to try and regenerate the tourism in the village. So the hotel was regenerated in 2005, and then in 2010, the Great Western Greenway, Ireland's first greenway, was developed, which has been a fantastic asset to the community. So that's really how I got involved through that process, by signing up to be part of Mulranny Tourism, a new group.
Okay, fantastic. And you're all volunteers?
We're all volunteers, Maeve.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
People from the local area?
People from the local area who want to try and revitalise their area and could see that we needed to bring tourists back in. Mulranny was it's on the road to Achill Island and up into North Mayo, and it was being passed, people were driving by, and there was no footpaths, there was nowhere for people to stop. So we needed to actually do something to bring people back and to stop in the village.
So the Stonewall Festival is something that you have initiated as part of the project.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that really started because we were trying to use our own, you know, what we actually have in the area, that there's so many things that you don't even realise that are an asset to you. And in Mulranny, we have the most beautiful stone walls. And some of the walls actually were the old railway walls that were built when the old railway line, the Great Western Railway, ran through the village, and they had fallen into disrepair over 100 years. So we decided that, look, we needed to repair these walls because they're absolutely beautiful and they're really important for biodiversity. And we decided that, look, right, we couldn't do it ourselves, but that we would invite people to come in to help us to do that. And we came up with an idea of having a Stonewall Festival. It's a very small festival. The maximum amount of people we can have is 30. So it's a very intimate festival, and people can come in and they can actually get to work with the local community and get to know the local community. And we have we meet in the pub at night. We have a gala dinner for them. They work really hard during the day. We work with them. We're supported by the Dry Stonewall Association of Ireland. And we bring in expert stonemasons to actually show people these ancient skills. And, you know, they're skills that could be lost. So in this way, we're rebuilding our heritage. We're bringing people in, and people stay in the village. They're accommodation, they're spending money, and we get a lot of repeat visitors. So it's something that people really like.
Very original.
Yeah. So it's really working out brilliantly, and people really like, but we're using something that was there.
Yes.
You know, like, there was stone walls falling down, and we said, how are we going to actually do something to fix? We couldn't do it ourselves. And we just come up with the idea of having a festival, and we got support from Mayo County Council Heritage Office to do this, because obviously the greenway is a really important asset for all of Mayo, and to actually have these walls rebuilt. And then people, when they come back, they're leaving a legacy on the landscape behind them, so they can come back and see the work they've done, that wall will be there in 100 years' time.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, so fantastic.
It is. They're part of our heritage.
They are part of our heritage, yeah. You know, and Mulranny has a kind of a striped landscape. You know, years ago, people had small strips of land, and they divided that by the stones that they took out. So these walls are really, really important. So it's lovely to have the stone walls being repaired, and at the same time, bringing people in to help us to do it. And they love it. They really get so much satisfaction. We have people reciting poetry at the end of the festivals. People sing songs, and they really get a lot from it, and they absolutely love meeting the local community. We go to the pub with them. they get to meet all the locals, and like, it's a really lovely, very nice festival to be at.
Wonderful. Yeah. And yeah, could be replicated all along the west of Ireland,
absolutely,
I'd imagine.
It could be replicated all along the west of Ireland. So there's stone walls everywhere. And people want to do, like, people love working with their hands, and they, you know, you're not, it's something really different.
It is something different, yeah. Yes, yeah, indeed, indeed. Yeah. And the Greenway now, tell me what the Greenway has brought to the area. Yeah. Who uses the Greenway?
Well, I suppose the locals use it, I suppose, which is probably the most important thing. Like, I think these kind of infrastructures should be built for the communities, and then if they're built for the communities, the tourists can use them when they come in. So it's really brought in a lot of extra tourists into the area. You know, like, it's originally the Greenway went from Mulroney into Newport, and that was 18 kilometres. And then it was extended as far as Westport. So that was another 11 kilometres. And now it's been extended out to Achill Island, another, I think that's another 10 or 8 kilometres. And they're actually bringing it out now onto the Achill Island itself. So it's brought a lot of visitors to the area. They come in and they see Mulroney's an actually beautiful place. The view from it is actually the best view on the Greenway, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinion. It's at the highest point of the Great Western Greenway, and you're looking out over the vista of Clew Bay and all the islands and across to Kilpatrick, and it's absolutely beautiful. So when people come into Mulroney, they come in and they spend money in the village. You know, they might stay, they book in for a nice accommodation, they might stay in Westport a night, Mulroney a night, go down to Achill. So it's really brought in a lot of visitors. So it's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
And people can walk or cycle the length of it.
They can cycle the length of it. It's absolutely fantastic. And it's all off-road, all a flat surface, so it's, and all ages can do it. So it's brilliant.
Fantastic, yeah. Wonderful community resource.
Absolutely. And we can use it ourselves if we want to go, say, into Newport to do a bit of shopping, or you want to nip down to Achill, or you want whatever you want to do, you want to meet somebody for lunch, you can use the Greenway yourself.
Fantastic.
Which is brilliant. Kids can use it going to school. So it's fantastic.
Yes, yes. And how have you managed to fund all these projects, Carla?
Oh my God. Well, I said we're a voluntary group. So I suppose at the height of the recession, we were very lucky that Mulroney actually didn't have any footpaths. That was one of the major things that we had big issues with in the village. The village, actually, the N59 actually goes right through the centre of our village. So we managed to get a village design statement done, and with the support of the Heritage Council. And in that village design statement, they come up with a, which was fantastic, it worked with the community, the people who are developing it. And we come up that, look, we actually needed footpaths through the village because we have a beautiful hotel there. And you couldn't walk from the hotel actually into the village because there was no footpaths. It was actually lethal. So this village design statement came up then with something that we thought we'd never actually have, with putting in a promenade to take in the fantastic views of Mulroney when people come into the village. So at the height of the recession, we managed to get $3 million investment into the village from Transport Infrastructure Ireland to put in our footpaths and to also build the Mulroney Promenade. So people can come in now and they can sit. The whole vista has been opened up. There's all benches for people to sit in, picnic benches, seats. We've bike parking, we've bicycle pumps, we've, you know, all these kind of things that people can come in, and we can actually walk from one end of the village to the other now safely. The children can walk to school. So it's been absolutely transformative.
I'm sure.
To the village. It really has. It's
fantastic.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning, really.
That was really the beginning of the transformation, really, of Mulroney when we got in those footpaths. But it's like the community coming together, you know, to actually develop these things that were, the community saw what was needed and went looking for the funding for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's like all voluntary led.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a lot of people giving their time.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's worth
it. For free.
Yeah, but it's worth it.
Well, you see the results.
You see the results, exactly what's coming from it. So it's fantastic.
Absolutely. So the tourist office then, 2011, it was opened.
Yeah, so there was a vacant building, actually. Now, it's only a little small building belonging to Mayo County Council. So we approached them and asked them, could we use that building for a tourist office? We knew there was one badly needed with the Great Western Greenway, and then the Wild Atlantic Way was coming along as well. And Mulroney is actually, the Great Western Greenway literally runs behind the village, like not even 20 or 30 yards, and the Wild Atlantic Way runs right through the village. So we really needed a tourist office where we could advertise our local bed and breakfast, all the different facilities in the village. So in fairness to Mayo County Council, it was like a derelict building. They gave us that building, and the local community came together. We got leader funding to buy the goods that we needed to do it up. And then the local tradesmen all gave their services for free.
Wow.
Which was fantastic.
Amazing.
So we renovated that building. We got it insulated. We got new windows. We got doors. All the inside was completely done up. And we opened a tourist office, voluntary run tourist office, which has been fantastic. And then we went a little step further. Then we decided that we'd kind of green that tourist office and make it as green as we could. I don't know if that's probably the right word for it, but we'll call it green.
Climate friendly.
Climate friendly. That's, thanks, Maeve. That's the word for that. And we put in, we got solar panels put in on the roof, and we put in a battery storage, and we have a TV screen there that people can see the energy when tourists come in. They can actually see the energy being generated and what we're using.
Wow.
Yeah, we stopped using any chemicals. We only use, old-fashioned ways of cleaning with lemon, and we use biodegradable soap and all that kind of stuff for cleaning. And we put in Mayo's first water station outside on the wall for people to refill their water bottles. We put all LED lighting into it. We have battery recycling. We have light bulb recycling for the community. So it's kind of, and we have a library book where people can come in and just swap books. If tourists want to take a book or give us a book, they can just take a book for free. So we've kind of made that really green. So when tourists come in, they can see that Mulroney is really trying to do something good here, you know, that they can, you know, they can learn, and they a lot of them actually really love the screen for the solar panels, you know. So that's brilliant. And we actually put plugs outside as well, that so that people who are using e-bikes can actually charge up their e-bikes for free on the outside of the tourist office from the solar panels. And we have community e-bikes inside, electric bikes that we got funding for. We applied for funding for that. So we have 3 e-bikes. We're the first community to have a community e-bike in the country. So we have 3 e-bikes that we have in the tourist office there. The local community, now it's only for people in the community, because we have a lot of bike car companies and we can't compete with them, which it wouldn't be fair. So this is for just the local people. If they want to go for a cycle or they want to do something on their e-bike, they ring into the tourist office and we book the bikes for them, and they just come and collect them and take off on their cycle for the day and bring them back then, and we can charge them then in the tourist office overnight for the next people to collect them the next day.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been a really like little green hub.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
So you've no energy bills there, really?
No. We're actually, Maeve, I'm sure some of the listeners to this podcast might be delighted to hear this. I would advise people to get your solar panels. I looked at the bill today just to check. We're €768 in credit.
Wow.
With the ESB.
Okay.
Yeah, because we've generated so much electricity. We have a little stove in the tourist office as well that we use. We burn rhododendron in, which is an invasive species. So we cut some of that over the winter and we let it dry out. So we burn invasive species rhododendron, and it gives off great heat. So we can use that as well to heat. And we have 2 little radiators as well. But our ESB bills, like, we're in credit now.
Okay.
It takes a while to spend that.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. Yeah. This is using the best of technology, isn't it, really?
It is, yeah. It's absolutely
available to everybody.
It's available to everybody, can do this. You know, anyone can. I mean, our tourist office is quite small. We only have, there's like a bathroom, there's an area for tourists to come in where we have all our brochures and our solar TV and things like that. And then we have a little office. So it's quite cheap to run. But I mean, yeah, so anybody can have solar PV on their roof or on their business, and they will definitely be saving money.
They'll be saving money, and they get grants, I think, to do that as well.
And you get grants to do that, exactly, from the SEAI. You just have to go onto the SEAI website and you can find that, all those grants that are available to you. You'll have to pay a certain amount of money yourself, but there's definitely grant support there.
Well, this is the future, isn't it, really? It has to be for all of us.
It has to be for all of us, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But you need to get your building fabric upgraded first now, if you can. I mean, to stop you putting solar panels on straight away, you're going to save money. But if you can pump your walls and do your attic and things like that, you'll make even bigger savings.
For sure. Okay, so your tourist office now is a little hub in the village.
It's a little green hub in the village, exactly, where people can come in and learn. If they want to get solar PV in Mulroney, they can come in and see how much energy has been generated there. We can show them the ESB bill, you know, and they, you know, so we actually have a lot of people who are putting solar PV on. So it's brilliant.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Tell me about the Old Irish Goat Centre.
Okay. So this is another project about using something that we actually have in Mulroney, which is the Old Irish Goat. I don't know whether you've ever heard of the Old Irish Goat, Maeve.
I haven't.
No, well, here we are now. Back in 2009, an English historian called Raymond Verner wrote an article in a magazine called Heritage Outlook magazine, looking for the Old Irish Goat. And a local man spotted this article and thought this was something maybe that he better write back to Ray, because we have a wild goat herd in Mulroney that's been there for years, that people like the old timers remembered, and there's people before them. And there's in the National Folklore Collection, there's some stories from Mulroney about goats and things like that. So anyway, this guy, Raymond Verner, he's a goat expert as well. He studied goats for 57 years, came to Mulroney to look at the wild herd. And when he saw them, he said, my God, this is something I've been looking for all my life.
Wow.
Yeah. And he asked us to get them into, could we somehow, the community, get together to put them into a breeding program? Because he said that there were, you know, very few of them left in the country, been looking for them for years. But obviously the herd of Mulroney had been isolated. So we managed to do that, the lunatics that we are, Maeve.
Fair play.
Yeah, yeah. And we, after we, about 3 years, we put them into a breeding program actually in the Wall Garden in Westport House. And I won't tell you the full story. You'll have to look on the website, Old Irish Goat. I'll be here all day talking about them, oldirishgoat.ie. But they were, we did DNA studies, and it turned out that with the Smurfit Genetic Institute and Trinity College and with other universities around Europe, and it turned out that the Old Irish Goat existed in Mulranny and was really a rare breed. So they got native rare breed status from the Irish government back in June 2022 with a status of at risk. So we have set up a visitor centre in Mulranny to tell people about the story of the heritage of the Old Irish Goat, how important they were during famine times to the Irish people. They used to be called the poor man's cow, and they saved a lot of families from starvation, because obviously the richer farmers could have cattle, but the Irish peasants could only have a goat.
And they had goat's milk.
Yeah, they had goat's milk, and the Old Irish Goat requires very low nutritional forage. They can survive on very little. They're not like other like dairy goats or anything like that. They're actually a really hardy animal, really suited to the Irish landscape. They came in with the Neolithic farmers 5,000 years ago. So we saw this is a fantastic opportunity for, like, I feel we're doing something really important for Mayo and for Ireland, because we're trying to save this really rare animal. And we invite people into the Old Irish Goat Visitor Centre to learn about them, to learn about their history and heritage, to learn about the place names in Ireland that are related to goat, like Puckon, Minon, and all these other names that are written in our oral history that show where these goats were all around the island back in the 1800s. So, and the visitor centre has been really successful. We have a lot of visitors come in. They love it. They love the story. A lot of them have never heard of the Old Irish Goat. A lot of them are thrilled to find out about them. We have two Old Irish Goats in the village with us, Dennis and Norman, and two males with magnificent, fabulous Old Irish Goat horns. And people love to see them. And they can also be seen now, I don't know whether you've heard about them, they're out on Howth Head in Dublin doing fighting fire. I think RTE called them the goats that fight fire.
That's right, I've heard of these
goats.
Yeah, well,
they're the goats. Those goats came from Mulranny.
Okay.
They're our goats. So they're in Howth, and they're now out on the south side in Killiney, also helping to create fire breaks out there. So these animals that we think, you know, maybe they don't have any use, they're actually really, really important.
So their grazing actually creates the fire break?
Yeah, they create the fire breaks, and they're doing that now in Howth and in Killiney.
Okay.
And we also did some graveyards in East Mayo, because the goats can go in and they can clear briars, brambles, gorse.
Wow.
All that kind of thing. And there's no need for glyphosate. There's no need for any chemicals. There's no need for machinery. So they do an absolutely brilliant job. So they're really important.
The most natural way possible, huh?
Exactly. So that's another sustainable tourism initiative we have in Mulranny. We're using what was already there in the village to bring tourists in, but also to tell a really important heritage story that's really, really important. Like, these animals have been with us for thousands of years, and they're being cast aside.
And they're unique to that area.
Well, the only Old Irish goats that we know of are the goats that we have in our herd, because they're all DNA tested. They're all Old Irish. We have 141 animals now, but like, that's not enough for a sustainable population. We'd need to get to about 1,000.
Really?
But like, that we're a voluntary group. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges with that. But the visitor centre helps to let people know about them. And I think the word is getting out there.
Okay.
You know, how important these animals are. But it's another sustainable tourism product that's bringing people to the village, and we're getting a lot of people coming in, and they want to see the wild herd as well, and, you know, look at them in the mountain and things like that. So it's really a lovely project.
Wonderful. And the website for the Old Irish Goat is?
oldirishgoat.ie.
oldirishgoat.ie.
Yeah. Okay. Look us up. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a whole litany of different things that have emerged out of the initial project and the group that came together.
Yeah, there is actually. And a lot of the projects seem to have like a sustainable end of it, or a green side to it, which is really fantastic.
Well, it's so important.
It is very, very important that all these projects are developing. But it's about using what you actually have. You mightn't actually think that something in your community you can actually make a tourism product out of it, but like sometimes things are actually staring us in the face.
Absolutely.
And we don't see them, and they're actually really valuable.
Yes.
No, very, very valuable, and other people really appreciate them.
You know? But we take them for granted, maybe, because we see them.
We see them all the time. We kind of take them for granted. You know, like we've another really, really rare habitat in Mulranny. It's a macaire sand plain.
Macaire,
it's called, and that's a sand plain that would be behind a dune system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we actually won an award for that back in 2007 for trying to regenerate the dunes on this macaire to protect the macaire. It has really rare plants, really rare insects, bees and things like that. And like, they're really worthy of conservation. And they're only found on the northwestern side of Ireland and in Scotland.
Okay.
And there's some beautiful macares, and we have a beautiful one in Mulroney. So like, we want to try and preserve that too. So we had to plant marum grass and things like that to try and protect that beautiful landscape and that biodiversity. And we did that.
Okay.
You know, so like, and that dune system, you can see it working when there's a storm. The dune might get washed back now, like they're fantastic dunes, but the dune is actually doing its work, mm-hmm. and then it regenerates again then.
Yes.
You know, so uh-huh. like these, all these things that are there in front of you, they're actually really valuable.
Absolutely. There's a lot of expertise required in all these different projects, isn't there? Do you bring in expertise from outside?
Well, we do sometimes, but we do a lot of research ourselves, I have to say. We do spend a lot of time researching all of these things, but we do try to bring in people from outside. And we've actually had a lot of interest from universities and that who come to visit us. And, you know, TUD have been down. We're obviously working on this Climate Connected project with the University of Galway. So there is a lot of interest in working with community. I think the interest comes to you. If you start to do things that are really important and you're trying to work with biodiversity and your nature, your landscapes in the best way possible, people will actually come to you.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah. To find out how you're doing it, and can we learn from you? And then we can go to other communities to see what they're doing, okay. and learn from them.
Yes, you know? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important.
Well, all of these efforts are so important too for the individual, I think, because we're learning that isolation and loneliness is becoming a big problem in Ireland, and partly to do with our technology, I think, we can be isolated
at home and
forget that all these other, you know, human connected kind of things are happening at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose, touching on that, I didn't mention about the Old Irish Goat Centre. We actually have, at the back of the Old Irish Goat Visitor Centre, we have another group called the Gift of Hands. And they are a group of ladies who actually make fabulous rugs and teddies and toys and all sorts of things from recycled offcuts from the Foxwood Woolen Mills.
Wow.
And
okay.
So these ladies all get to meet, like, with social isolation. So the people get to meet, you know, their neighbours, or maybe not the people come from Castlebar and Westport to it now. And they meet and they work with their hands. It's called the Gift of Hands. So they're all doing it voluntarily. So anything they make and the process that they make from these recycled goods that they make, beautiful goods, it goes back into community projects, environmental projects.
Uh-huh.
So that's a great help. So local community groups can approach the Gift of Hands and say, look, we have an idea for a project we want to do, whatever it is, and they will give some money to help.
Okay.
With that. So that's been a fantastic asset
as well.
It's
very good, yeah. It's a source of funding then,
It's a source of funding, exactly, yeah. So that's another fantastic initiative that's taken place in Mulroney, using recycled goods to make something else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make jeans, they use old jeans, and they make aprons out of old jeans, and they do all sorts of things with recycled goods. And, you know, lovely, they actually get old, like iron sweaters maybe that might be old and they might be, say, torn, but they'll actually be able to, they'll pull all that back and they'll reuse the wool and they'll make something else, another garment out of it. So like, they're doing amazing stuff. Recycling everything. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's the polar opposite of fast fashion, which we know is, you know, destroying our climate at so many different levels.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And clothes been dumped in the Atacama Desert and places like
all
this.
All over the place.
Yeah. Yes. So this is a really, and other people can do likewise, other communities. Now, you're never going to make a lot of money from it, because the amount of hours you have to put in to make one garment, and it's voluntary run. So you're never going to be able to make a business out of it. But as a social enterprise, it's fantastic. It's a really good way to make some money if people are happy to give that, the gift of their hands to their community.
And every item is unique then?
Every item is absolutely unique.
It's not a mass-produced.
Beautiful rugs, teddies, they make all sorts of things, lovely things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very
really,
clever,
really important.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So in terms of bringing the community together, Carol, how did that start? How did you manage to bring your committee together in the first place?
Yeah, well, I suppose that started with that Mulroney Community Futures, and that was a process that was brought in by Mayo County Council into Mayo. It came from Scotland, where communities could get together, and they were asked at the very beginning of the process, every community gets a questionnaire, and they were asked four questions on that questionnaire. What do you like about Mulroney? What do you dislike about Mulroney? What would you like Mulroney to be in 10 years' time? And what priority project would you identify? So all of those surveys came back. Every household was surveyed. And from that then, we had what was called Mulroney Community Futures Open Day. And all those, everything that every single person listed was on walls around our community centre. And everyone got 15 dots. We called it the Day of the Dots. So everybody got 15 like little sticky dots. And they went around to every board and they could use their 15 dots in any way they wanted. So if somebody wanted footpaths, they could put their 15 dots on footpaths. if they wanted us to put in a wave pool, they put two dots on that. And if they wanted something else, three. And at the end of that, then we had to prioritise of everything that people wanted. And we come up with the Morani Community Futures Plan. And people on the day when they came to the Day of the Dots could sign up to join the tourism group that was going to be newly formed, an environmental group. They could join Tidy Towns. So a lot of new people signed up to get involved in these community groups. And that's kind of really what kick-started the whole thing. That started in 2008.
That was a great idea.
It was, yeah. And then the plan, we're on our third plan now, which finishes in 2027. So in another next year now, we're going to have to start working on the plan from 2028 for the next five-year plan. So it's kind of a constant...
It is, rolling.
A rolling, yeah. And so, like, we won't get some of the things done, you know, because there's obviously people have different priorities. But, you know, different groups can take on a certain role, or, you know, somebody wanted to set up a youth club so they can go off and do that. But it and then we have a traffic light system. We review the plan every year and we see what's green. Is there anything orange and red? We've nothing done with that. And we just kind of review it to see how we're getting on. But if we don't get something done, it's because we either don't have the funding or we don't have the resources, or, and we can just ask the community again for the next plan. You know, what do you want for the next 5 years? And keep rolling the plan over.
Okay, so there's an ongoing consultation process,
an ongoing,
really.
Every time we do a new plan, we consult with the community as to what would they like to see happen in Morani over the next few years. Now, sometimes, like, it took us, I think we, on the very, very first plan, one of the top things was for us to have a playground. We had no playground in the village. So, but it took us, I think, 8 years to get that playground, because we had to get land for it, which was the biggest hurdle. And then we had to get funding for it. But we stuck at it and we got it eventually. And we now have our playground.
Great.
You know, but it took us two plans to actually get that playground.
You have to be persistent.
Yeah, you do.
Which is true for all local projects, I think, isn't it? Like, there's going to be hurdles.
There are hurdles. There's always hurdles. But the biggest hurdle to everything is money. That's the biggest hurdle.
Absolutely. Don't we know?
Yeah, don't we know? That's the biggest hurdle.
But there are lots of different sources of funding, of course. I guess you go to different places, don't you, looking for money?
Yeah, there is, like, the local development, like, to say, Mayo now, the leader programs, they would be, you know, where a lot of communities would get their funding. But there wouldn't be all 100% funding. So you might have to come up with some funding yourself, 25% or 10%. And that can be very difficult for communities to get that funding.
Sure.
Yeah, it is quite difficult. But you just have to persevere.
I know. Have you done fundraising events then as well?
We do. To be honest, we do some, but we don't do a lot, because there's a lot of community groups and you're asking the same people all the time, you know, to buy a raffle ticket or do whatever it is. So
sure. We
don't try to do too much fundraising. You know, we might do maybe one event maybe a year and keep it at that. But
fair enough.
It is difficult, because we're only a very small village. And yet we still, like, if we have to pay, like, we're now a CLG.
CLG.
Yeah, which is a limited company.
Okay.
You know, so because if we want to get funding and things like that, you have to be a CLG.
Okay.
And have all your correct documents in place and things like
sure.
that. But yet then, because you're that, you have to pay accountants' fees.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, that's another
cost.
Another cost that you have to kind of factor in, and how are you going to raise that money and things like that. So there's a lot of thought. But nothing is insurmountable. You can do it.
Yes. Well, there's a will, there's a way.
Well, there's a will, there's a way. Exactly. Yeah, you can just the head down and you manage to do it, no problem.
Yeah. So it seems like there's a pretty good, vibrant community spirit in the area.
Oh, there is, Maeve. Yeah, there is. I have to say, people are really good. There's so many different groups. You know, like, we've Scouts, we've our amenity centre, which is like a community centre. We've the Old Irish Ghost Society. We've the Tidy Towns group. We have a heritage group. Like, there's an awful lot of groups. But the Morani Community Futures is like an umbrella group. So every one of these groups would have somebody on the steering committee of a Morani Community Futures. So we try not to everyone be doing the same thing.
Yes.
You know, each group would have their own specialty, but we would all know kind of what each other are doing, which is very good, you know.
Okay, yeah. And really brings people together in a very positive way.
It does, actually. It does. And everyone can see them, saying that the Tidy Towns application is going in. They say, look, if you have anything you want to submit into the Tidy Towns application, the other groups then would all feed into that, which makes the application much better.
Of course, you know, it's collaborative.
Yeah, exactly. It's collaboration. Everyone is putting in something into the application. So it makes it a much better application.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe tell us, how do we get to Mulroney? Oh. If we're from Dublin or anywhere else, what's your local transport like?
It's actually a lot better than it used to be, because at one stage in Mulroney had two buses going in and out of the village now, but we now have eight a day, which is fantastic.
Eight a day?
Eight.
Are they local link?
Yeah, we've local link, and we also have the TFI.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so it's absolutely brilliant. So that actually links us up now with Achill and down to Belmullet, into Westport, into Castlebar. So it's absolutely fantastic that we have those new links now.
Okay.
You know, and plus we have the Greenway.
Yes.
You know, so
yes.
The links are improving all the time.
Okay. Where's the local train station?
The local train station nearest to us is Westport.
Okay.
Yeah, so that'd be probably 25 minutes to get into the train station.
Okay.
So like I'm just saying, this morning now myself and Sean came up by train today. But we had to drive to the train station because there's no bus at the hour we wanted to get to the train station this morning.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of work to be done yet.
Fair enough.
We're getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
So, Carol, what would you say to anybody listening in their local community who thought they'd like to emulate what you guys have done? Like, where, for a start, where would they find the information online to start to initiate some projects like these?
Yeah, well, I suppose that one of the I know that this project we're involved in now at the moment, the Climate Connected with the University of Galway, they have a website, climateconnected.ie, and there's some fantastic stories there from communities around Ireland and individuals about how they've what they're doing, trying to make a little small difference. You know, it can be a bit overwhelming sometimes. People, you know, think, oh my God, I can't really do anything. They're, you know, worried about what's happening in the world and that. But if you can do something small, if everyone does something small, will go a long way.
For sure.
You know, and I'd say to people, get involved in your local community. Like, it's really good to be a good citizen and to get involved because you actually get more out of it than you put into it. You might be frustrated at times with, you know, paperwork and the administration that goes into it, but you actually make some really good friends. You're getting out of the house meeting people. You're doing something good and you can see the benefits to your community. So why wouldn't you do it?
Absolutely.
I'd say to people, get involved and don't be afraid to approach local groups and say, look, listen, can I help with something small? Or I'd love to come to a meeting or, you know, because people would be delighted to have you come in.
Of course.
You know, there's a lot of work to be done. And I think the more people that get involved, the better.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid. Yeah.
Don't be afraid. And you don't have to have any special expertise or anything.
Not at all.
Everybody's welcome.
Everyone's welcome. I mean, I'm only an ordinary housewife. I'm with a family. I mean, but I just want to do things and get involved. So loads of people have a lot to offer.
Everybody has something to offer.
Absolutely. No matter how small, everyone has a lot to offer.
Yeah. Well, Rani sounds like a great blueprint for how things could develop in other parts of the country as well. And hopefully we'll get to visit you over in your tourist office and see those old goats.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Over the summer, I'd love to. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, you'd be more than welcome. The scenery is amazing. The people are fantastic. Loads of facilities there and it's really a lovely place. So come visit us.
Okay.
Love to see you.
So thanks so much, Karen Loftus, who's chair of the Sustainable Energy Committee in Mulroney in West Mayo. And these podcasts are public-funded, climate-connected podcasts available on climateconnected.ie.